Acts chapter 3. I want you to put on your calendar August the 21st and write in your calendar the party. And write on August 21st, I have to be at church. I cannot miss. If you've got a vacation plan, come back Saturday night and be here on August the 21st. I'm not asking you to be here next week. I'm not asking you to be here the next week after that. Do your thing. Do your summer. Do what you need to do. But on August the 21st, do all you can to be here. And school starts that next day, so you need to be back, get your kids in bed anyway. But August the 21st. Let's start in Acts chapter 3. Let's see what the Lord's going to do today. Lord just might do something special in your life. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them, eagerly, it says, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up, and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went in the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Can you see the scene? All the people going to the prayer meeting, all the people who had seen this lame guy time after time after time, everyone knows his situation. He's there, he's begging for some help, he's begging for some coin so that he can survive. They've seen him over and over and over. However, this day, it's different. They encountered Peter and John and Jesus, and now he's up. He's leaping around, he's jumping around, he's praising God, he's holding on to Peter and John, and he is absolutely outside of himself with joy. I mean, this guy, he's carried away with what's happened. And all the people see it. That's what the Lord did. That's what the Lord does. He did it then, he does it now. The Lord is always at work in situations, in providing opportunities for people to hear about Jesus. Sometimes it's a physical healing. Sometimes it's an emotional healing. Sometimes it's a great change in someone's life. Sometimes it's a fired up church. Sometimes it's a church that's so full of Jesus that they're living beyond themselves, and the Lord uses that. He uses the sacrifice. He uses the unconditional love. He uses the willingness to be bold, to be directed, to be on fire. Today, the goal of this message is for each and every one of us to leave on fire. If you're already on fire, we're throwing another log on the fire. Cook up some bacon and some beans. You may know that song. We're going to pitch another log on the fire. We are going to stoke that fire today. The Holy Spirit is going to do that. I believe it all my heart. The Holy Spirit is going to do that today. If you're not on fire, we're lighting a match. The Holy Spirit is lighting a match. It's being placed in the paper. It's being placed in that dry kindling. It's being lit today. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. You're hearing the miracle that always lights, the Holy Spirit always lights a match when we talk about the things that only God can do. Don't snuff it. Don't blow it out. Don't pour cold water on it. Let it burn. Let it burn. Verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? Man, wouldn't you like to live with that mindset? What is so surprising about this? That's, man, Peter's done seen it. It's a normal experience for Peter. Man, I just love that. That's an unbelievable thing to have God work in your life so often that when something happens that everyone else are completely astounded, your experience is, what's so surprising about this? Why are y'all so caught off guard with this? And why stare at us as though we have made this man walk by our own power or godliness? They were laser beam looking at Peter and John. He said, man, that stare, that look that you're bearing through us, let me tell you something. It isn't from us. For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to His servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release Him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer, Barabbas. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Faith in Jesus' name, faith in Jesus, faith in His power, faith in His sovereignty, faith in Him as Lord has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. A lot of ignorance around us about Jesus, a lot of ignorance about the church, a lot of ignorance about who we are and what we believe. A lot of the ignorance that's around us is our fault. A lot of it is. A lot of the misconceptions about the body of Christ is our fault. But a lot of it is just the way of this world. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that He must suffer these things. Now, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then, times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And He will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. The first thing into this miracle, the first thing into learning from Peter and John is prayer. They're devoted to prayer. They're praying. They go for the regular 3 o'clock meeting. Now, there's a lot of questions about prayer that I could never answer. There's a lot of things about prayer that I don't know, but there's one thing that I do know about prayer. That is, it's commanded. God loves it when we pray. I also know that nothing of any value truly happens apart from prayer. Prayer. Prayer puts us in the right frame of mind. Prayer puts us in a right position to receive. Prayer helps us focus on what really matters in life. Prayer. Lord, if you don't work out, it's not going to work out. Lord, we've got these problems. I've enumerated these problems, these issues. Lord, will you take care of number one? Will you take care of number two? Lord, what do you want? How do you want it? What are you up to? Prayer. Peter and John and the rest of the disciples at this point, they're in bad situation. They're hunted men. They're marked men. The circumstances are not good for them. Their world has turned upside down. But the good news is Jesus is at work. Obviously, Peter and John are not taken back with this miracle because they are walking in prayer. Pray. 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 I've been gone 18 days. It's amazing what's happened in 18 days in our country, in our world. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to turn on the news. I don't want to hear. It was nice not to be hearing everything that was going on. Dallas and Atlanta and Miami and now Munich and Paris and Nice and all these other things that have happened in our world. Look around at each other today. Look around. We're going to do this every point today, but I want you to look around. I want you to look at each other's faces today. Look around. Go ahead. I'm giving you the license to look around and check out who's here today. Look at everybody. Look at everybody. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. You see them? Atta boy. I'm here. I represent. We're the ones. We're the ones. We're God's people. We're the warriors. The politicians are not the one. They're not. The movie stars are not the ones. The community leaders are not the ones. We're the ones. We're the people of God. We're the ones that need now to pray like never before. We're the answer. We are the solution. We are the solution. That's God's design. That's His choice. It is now time for God's people to raise up and fight this war. Amen. Thank you. We must pray. The greatest spiritual weapon we have is prayer. The only thing that is going to position us to share the truth of God is prayer. The only thing that's going to put us in a position where we can fight the hatred, the racism, the problems that are in our country, in this world now, the only way we're going to really be able to fight ISIS and Islam and all that's going on is when God's people begin to truly pray and God's power is unleashed through the church. So look around this building. Look at your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Look at the army that God is putting together here. We're the ones. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be strong. We've got to be bold. We've got to be praying. You and I will face all kinds of problems on our homeland. We've got to be strong. We've got to be committed to the Lord. We've got to be people of prayer. Second thing we see here in this story, Peter and John are engaged with those around them. They're engaged. Peter and John looked at him intently. That's an interesting phrase. They stared at him. They focused on him. They observed him. The lame man looked at them eagerly. There's a connection being made. I don't think it's a stretch to say that Peter and John were loving that man. I don't think it's a stretch to say Peter and John had compassion for that man. I think that Peter and John saw that man differently than all the other people going to the prayer meeting. Everybody else passed by him. They passed by him every time. Every time they went to the prayer meeting, they passed on by him. He's a regular attender. But not Peter and John. Peter and John hear his voice. Peter and John hear his expectation. Peter and John look at him, and they know that they've got the very best thing to give him. They say, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. They had Jesus. Do you realize that you and I have the very best thing to give people? We have the good news. We have the gospel. We have Jesus Christ. The answer to the problems of people in your life is not money. It's not your wisdom. It'll guide a little way. It'll help a little way. But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Putting them in a position that they can be opened up to God's presence is the answer to people's difficulties today. Peter and John looked at him and says, "Man, we don't have any money to give you." That didn't stop them. Oftentimes it stops us from engaging with other people because we don't have what they want. We can't answer their questions. We can't solve their problems. We can't really deal with them. And so we just kind of walk by them. Oh, my friend, please understand, we do have the answer. We do have the answer. It's the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. We've got what they need. Even though they don't realize it, we've got what they're asking for. Jesus. Engage with people. Engage with people. Don't hide from people. Don't avoid people. I don't care if they're the people that look like they're the furthest away from God and they're never going to listen to your story. Don't avoid anyone. Be bold, be strong, be courageous. In love, go forward, just doing all you can to share with them the beautiful story about Jesus. Tell them over and over and over. Tell them over and over. Tell them over and over. Make them hide from you. It ought to be, "Oh no, here he comes again. Oh no, here she comes. All she wants to do is talk about Jesus to me. I want to talk about my new shoes. She just wants to talk about Jesus. Keep on talking about Jesus. Don't talk about the new shoes. Talk about Jesus." School's going to be starting soon. Moms, in the lineup to pick up your kids, to drop off your kids. All those conversations go on. Change what you talk about. You talk about what teacher they have. You talk about their soccer practice. You talk about this. You talk about that. Reading and writing is very, it's very overestimated. They're going to read and write. They're going to get that. If they don't, it's going to be okay. It'll be all right. Eternity is in balance. Share Jesus with them. Share Jesus with them. Share Jesus with them. Make them avoid you. Make them avoid you because you're so just so saturated with the love of Jesus. You can't not talk about Him because He's risen from the grave. Engage with people. Verse 12. Now, what a scene. The lame man has been healed, jumping around praising God. Peter saw his opportunity. Peter saw his opportunity. ESV says Peter saw it. What did he see? His opportunity. He saw that this was a green light. That's what God did. What did Peter do to bring about this green light? He got up and said, "John, let's go to the prayer meeting." That's what he did. That's all he did. He goes to the prayer meeting. The lame man says, "Got any money? Got any coin? Got a solid quarter for me?" He says, "Man, I ain't got any money, but what I've got, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." Peter didn't do that. He didn't do that. One reason why we don't see a lot of healing around us is because we want people to think we did that. We get in the way. Man, check this out. Peter says, "We didn't do this. Don't look at us. We're just ordinary people." But when he saw the man jumping around and he saw what was going on in the prayer room, he saw his opportunity and he shared the good news with them about Jesus. "People of Israel," he says, "don't be so surprised about this. Don't stare us down. Our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, has brought his glory to Jesus. And Jesus did this. He presented Jesus. When he saw his opportunity, he presented Jesus. Pray. Engage with people. Love people. Care about people. Change their tires. Help them with their yard. Eat with them. Spend time with them. Get involved in their lives. Listen to them. Care for them. Teach their kids how to swim if they can't do it. Teach their kids how to throw a baseball if they can't do it. Teach their kids how to do something if they're not able to do that. I mean, just engage with people. Have fun with people. Spend your time with them. Have fun with them. Just play 42 with them. Eat ice cream with them. Have them over for some burgers. Have hot dogs with them. Have fajitas with them. Curtis should be making barbecue for everybody. He's a barbecue deluxe. Amen. That was unbelievable last night. Wade Sale needs to cook ribs for everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Food always gets out the most from the people on the back row. Amen. Here we go. Having fun with them, talking it up, just laughing and enjoying. And when the opportunity comes, present Jesus to them. The Lord will give you the opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity now. I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going to give you an idea, an opportunity. This prayer guide, this word guide that you received when you came in, I gave this, I made it out. We had one for the Portugal group, had one for the Cambodia group. I challenge them every single day to read Acts 3, 1 through 20. I'm now challenging you every single day between now and the 21st of August to read Acts 3, 1 through 20. Every day. Meditate on verses 19 and 20. Lord, what does that mean? Lord, what does that mean to me? What's going on here? What's the Spirit saying to you? Learn about the prayer. Learn about the love, the engagement. Feast on it. Focus on it. Just meditate on it. Just understand the opportunity that the Lord provided for them. Learn to look for your opportunities. Learn to look for your opportunities. Learn to look for your opportunities. And when the opportunity comes, share the gospel. Been gone 18 days. In those 18 days, I saw the opportunity over and over and over and over. It's a beautiful thing in Cambodia. Only Kyle and Amy can really talk to anybody. None of us white faces can really talk to anybody. I can say thank you. I can say bring me more rice. And that's probably limited. I can ask for a fork. I can ask for a spoon. And I can ask for some more water. That's it. And that's limited because sometimes they have brought me other things. But what an opportunity we have to go and love and watch the Lord work that and realize there's not one thing we can do about it, but every single time we go and we give Kyle a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. My numbers are, and these are very conservative, I believe, that in the 2 weeks that we were in Cambodia, the gospel was shared with over 2,500 people. Hallelujah. That's based on 24 churches with an average of at least 100 people in every one of them. And some of the churches we went twice, and in a couple of churches there was less than that, but there's a few churches there was more than that. In Portugal, conservative number, I think we shared the gospel with at least 500 people. Now, that is significant for our work in Portugal. That's significant. Now, so you take 2,500, 500, that's 3,000. That's the number the Lord added in the day of Acts. I don't have any numbers for Peru yet. It's still going on. No telling how many they're sharing the gospel with in Peru right now. From this body of believers, from this one. There's no telling what God's doing in the rest of the world with all the churches in our country, all the churches across the world, what the Spirit's doing. But that's just our situation. What a great opportunity we have to share Jesus this past summer. Now, if you started making the numbers, if you take Adventure Week, and you take this thing, you take this camp, and you brought all those numbers together, this congregation is way over 5,000 people. This summer, June and July, up to July the 24th, we have shared the gospel with, conservatively, over 5,000 people. It may be more. We don't count, but that's just me thinking about who all was there and the numbers and things. Easily over 5,000 people. So here's an opportunity we have. August the 21st, we're going to have a party. And the party is to celebrate the good news. The party on August the 21st. On August the 21st, we're going to make use of our opportunities. We now are streaming live. The camera is in the middle. We've been able to make that difference. It's a lot better to watch. We're streaming live right now. So I want you to learn right now to prepare you for August 21st. Go to www.crossingalito.com right now. Go ahead. I'll let you get at your phone. Your mom will not get on you. Brother Lee's asked you to do it, children, kids. Crossingalito.com. Go to the full site if you've got a phone and go down there where it says live stream. Click on that live stream and now share it on Facebook, Twitter, whatever else you got. Whatever else I don't know about. Are you getting it done? How many are doing that right now? One, two, three, four. By the time the 21st come around, we're going to have a lot of people doing that because I'm going to bug you to death with it. Get in the habit every time before you come to church. You share it so people can get on live feed. Now, the Lord has allowed us to intersect with four different language preachers. We've got Kawai in Cambodian. We've got Marconi, believe it or not, in Portuguese. We've got Tony Cepeda in Spanish. We have Pastor Montenega, our African brother, in Swahili. And in addition, we have Lee Brewer in English. Hallelujah. Broken English. So, here's what we're going to do on August the 21st. We are going to utilize our camera. We're going to utilize our service. We're going to make the most of the opportunity. Now, one thing I want you to know is the summer crowds look horrible on our live stream. Okay, so we're going to pack this place. We're going to pack this place so it's exciting, and we're going to pack this place on August 21st. Everybody's going to be home, and everybody's going to be at church so that it looks good on TV. There you go. Now, see right here, nobody wants to sit up first. There's a lot of you back there. But if all of you were sitting here in the front, it looked like it'd be packed today. That's the magic of television. But like now, it looks like, well, they don't, it's summer, they don't care. You know, that's what it looks like right now. But we're going to just, so you start navigating to the front. You start thinking about words like amen, words like I agree, words like I'm with you, words like hallelujah, preacher, hallelujah. Words like that, whatever that is. I'll take that. And start getting this front filled up so that it looks at it. So here's what we're going to do on August 21st. We have invited the African congregation and their choir. They're going to sing, get us all fired up with their dancing going on. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. Now, the sermon is going to be in five parts. Each part is going to be 5 minutes long. Pastor Montega is going to preach the gospel in Swahili. Marconi is going to preach the gospel in Portuguese. Kyle is going to preach the gospel in Khmer, Cambodian. Tony Cepeda is going to preach the gospel in Spanish. And then I'll speak the gospel in English. We are going to take those five languages and we are going to make a Spanish gospel, a Swahili gospel, Portuguese gospel, you know, Cambodian gospel. And then that afternoon, it's all going to be available to us, and we're going to know where to go to get it, and you're going to know where to go and get it. And so for you in English, you will take that link and you're going to send it to all the English-speaking friends you have. You're going to take the Spanish link and send it to all the Spanish-speaking friends you have. You take that link and all the Cambodian friends you have. You take that link into all the Portuguese friends you have and the Swahili friends that you might have. Now, you say, I don't have any Swahili friends. Yes, but our African congregation does. They do. And they're going to send it out. And so that Sunday afternoon, we need to pray now. We need to do what we need to do. But we're going to work at that. And so do you see the vision of that? One Sunday afternoon, we are going to absolutely saturate every place we can with the good news about Jesus Christ. We're going to do that. From this place, from Little Aledo, Texas, at the Church at the Crossing, we're going to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Very good. Seeing the opportunity. Let me tell you one of the miracles that God did in Portugal. So, Pedro Estevez. Pedro gets the mayor of Mafra to have the summer program come to one of our practices. 350 kids. I would say ranging in ages from probably 5 or 6 all the way up to probably 15 or 16 years old. 350 kids and their leaders came to our practice. They're all up there in the stands. We are going to teach them some skills. We're going to have stations, and Billy had it all arranged, and we're going to get them throwing the football, catching the football, kicking the football, blocking dummies, and running, and learning how to get in a stance, and all these different skills that you do in football. And it was a fun, fun time. We stretched them out. We got them all excited and all that. But before we did that, you look across there, and man, it was clear as a bell for me. And I think it was clear as a bell for everybody else. It was very simple. We said, Dusty, go tell them how great you were. Tell them how you love Jesus. So Dusty goes up there and says, I'm Dusty Renfro, all-time tackler for the University of Texas, All-American 2 or 3 times, academic All-American, played for the Bills, played for the Carolina Panthers, played in the European League, but the best thing in my life is Jesus Christ. And Pedro interpreted for him. And there's Marconi. Marconi speaks Portuguese. Went over there to Marconi and says, Marconi, here's your opportunity. Go for it. Marconi gets the microphone in his hand after Dusty is done, and Marconi went to town presenting the gospel to that stadium in Portuguese. Hallelujah. God did that. Mike, the missionary, came over and he stands by me and he starts whispering to those who are gathered there, telling us what he said. Marconi, miracle, was clear-minded. Spoke clearly the good news. Just told them about how much God loves them. Told them about how much Jesus loves them. He died for them on the cross. He told them how to embrace Christ in faith. The night before we were going to leave, Pedro Estevez comes to me and he says, Brother Lee, you don't believe what the Lord has done with the gospel sharing at the stadium. I said, what's he done? He said, one of my friends was there, and he shared what had happened, and he put it out on his Facebook, and he said, before we knew it, we had 3,100 views of the kids going through the practice with you guys. In Portugal, 3,000 views. And he said, and also this lady said this, and the lady responded and said, I was there. I was there with my children. I am a Christian. It was wonderful to hear the gospel in Portuguese in our country. So many heard it at one time. Amen. She said, next year when those Americans come, I'm going to really bring as many people as we can. The Lord has done that. Now, when we first started out, we were sharing the gospel with a few people every year. A few people. But the Lord, I believe, has just blessed us. He's put us in the right place. He's led us. What have we done to cause anything to happen? Just prayed and been faithful. We've just gone to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting. We've just gone and we just showed up. And the Lord has just put it before us. Verses 19 and 20. Preparing ourselves. By the way, on the party, after we have our service with the gospel being celebrated and party, we are going to dedicate our sign/baptistry. We're going to have some baptism out there. We're going to dedicate Dub's project. I've invited all the city officials, the mayor and all the councilmen. I've already invited all the school board people, all those folks. I want you to at least invite 5 people to come and go to church with us that day and come for that project. Invite 5 people. Pray for them. If the Lord gives you an opportunity to share the gospel with them, share the gospel with them. But can you imagine if just today, just those that are here on this summer day, if we invited 5 people and only 2 of them came, this place would be plumb packed. We might have to get the overflow going. Okay? Invite, pray for them, engage with them, have fun with them, and look for your opportunity. Verses 19 and 20. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. When do times of refreshment come from the Lord? Think about refreshment. Think about times of refreshment. Times meaning seasons of refreshment. Periods of time when there's refreshment in the land. Refreshment for us means darkness is not prevailing. Light has done took over. Refreshment means where there's spiritual thirst, that thirst is satisfied. Hatred turns to love. Unforgiveness turns to forgiveness. Rules and works and religion turns to grace. Times of refreshment. Our world needs times of refreshment. What precedes times of refreshment? Repenting of your sins and turning to God. Repentance and turning to God. Repentance. Confess any known sin to God and put away any wrong done to others. Start right there. Put away any wrong done to others. Confess any known sin in your life. And put away any wrong done to others. Put away any doubtful habit. Number 3, repentance. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. And number 4, confess Christ openly. There you have it. Every day between now and then, Lord, what do you have for me? Speak to me now, Lord. Show me in your spirit. Confess any known sin to God and put away any wrong done to others. Put away any doubtful habit. Obey the Holy Spirit immediately and confess Christ openly. Get it out in the open. It says that if we repent of our sins and turn to God, our sins will be wiped away. Times of refreshment will come. I want to say this again. The greatest weapon, the greatest tool that God has is His people. It's crucial. It's crucial that you and I follow His leadership, and the result is effective, strong, loving, caring, aggressive, carried away people for Jesus. Committed to the church, committed to Him, committed to spiritual growth, committed to people, sharing the good news of Jesus with people. Coming together each Sunday between now and August 21st, getting fired up, being faithful, putting aside anything we've got going on with other people, And in this room, in this body of believers, is love and grace and mercy and just hearts that are poured out to Him. And we position ourselves for the Lord to do what He wants to do. I wonder what He wants to do. Will you wonder with me? Will you wonder with me? Will you be committed to this? Are you committed to this? Are you with me? Are we together? Are we in the ditch together? Are you on board? Are you in the huddle? Are you breaking huddle? Are you on board with this? No. That's not good enough. That's not going to work. Are you on board with this? I want to know. Billy, are you on board with this? Come on, Billy, get up there. Are you on board with this? Who's on board? Anybody else on board? Hallelujah. There's enough. There's enough right there. Are you on board? Are you on board? There's enough. Billy, will you come and get us fired up? Come on, man. One time. One time. Come on, Billy. I didn't get it done. I want you to get it done. Ushers, come forward. We're going to take up the offering while Billy's getting us fired up. Don't take up the offering until he starts, though. He might really get us fired up. Get us fired up, and then you pray and let us go.
And it is fired up. You sit up here and listen to Lee talk. I look out here, I see these young people. Man, it makes my heart. I listen to Bryce. Man, I see the faith he has. It makes me sit back there and think, I wish I had the faith of the 16-year-old. Had his whole life stoned down right there in front of him. And he says, it doesn't matter because it's not about me. It's about you, God, and what I'm going to do and what you do in my life. And that's what mostly counts. So we need to talk about it. We need to do it. We get out there. We talk about being all in. You want to be all in? You look at your kids. You look at your wife. You look at your husband. You say, we start when we leave here. We're going to be all in, not for us, but for everybody in this world. We're going to go out. We're going to preach the name. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to tell them what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
If somebody goes out walking across this crosswalk and a car comes flying down the road and Chuck comes and knocks you out of the road and gets smashed by a car, would you not go out and say, Chuck DeGear saved my life? This Amen. Is what Chuck DeGear did for me.
Amen.
It's happened. It's already happened. Thousands of years ago, Jesus Christ, He got out there for us. He spread His arms, and He died for us so that we could be here, right here, right now. Now it's our turn to go out, because if you love somebody and you truly love them with all your heart and soul, you're going to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
Because it's not fair. It's not fair if they haven't heard it. You're going to tell them how much Jesus loves them. You're going to tell them they are worthy. No matter what's happened in their life, no matter what they've done, thank God, I'm preaching to myself, we are worthy. He loves us so much. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He got up on that cross, and He died for us. Amen. Now, it's our turn. It's our turn. We can do it. Thank you for letting me come up here.
Let's take up the offering.
Take up the offering, and I'll pray for us. Dear Lord, we come to you today. You're so wonderful. You're so perfect. You're everything that, and we're so just thankful, Father, for your love. We're thankful for this church. We're thankful for our leadership in this church, Father, and we're thankful for the opportunities that you're going to give us, Lord. And all we have to do is plant the seed, Father. All we have to do is plant the seed, and you do the work. You make it so easy for us. And we know that our life is best when we're doing what you want us to do, when we're doing your will, Father. Give us clarity. Give us strength. Or give us what we need, and we know you will, Lord. Give us the ability to go out and be warriors for you. Let us go out and just be excited about life, because life is exciting. We get one life to live, Lord,
And living it for you will be the best opportunity that we have to live the best life that we have. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it. Good job. All right. As we take up the offering, y'all join me. Philip, come stand with me so I get off key. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace.